meeting. So that will be this Tuesday. Does anyone else have any other announcements? Can you? Sure.
Good morning. For those of you who have mailboxes, we put a little invitation in here. It's a birthday party announcement for Benjamin and myself on June 29th. Benjamin's birthday is June 27th. So this birthday party is mainly for Benjamin, more so than me. But mine's the 28th. But just go ahead. And if you don't have a mailbox, I have these here. So you can come pick them up. It's on June 29th at 4 o'clock. It's going to be at our house on Ladybug Lane. Thank you.
Thank you, Marty. Let's take a moment and stand and greet one another, please. Good morning. Thank you, Barb, for that beautiful music. Today is a very special day. It's a day that we take the time to honor and recognize all fathers, grandfathers, stepfathers, foster fathers, adoptive fathers, all those men who have been father figures in our lives. We love you. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, today we ask you to bless our earthly fathers for the many times they reflected the love, strength, generosity, wisdom, and mercy that you exemplify in your relationship with us, your children. We honor our fathers for putting our needs above their own convenience and comfort, for teaching us to show courage and determination in the face of adversity, for challenging us to move beyond self-limiting boundaries, for modeling the qualities that would turn us into responsible, principled, caring adults. Not all of our fathers have lived up to these ideals. Please give them the grace to acknowledge and learn from their mistakes. Give us the grace to extend to them the same forgiveness that you offer us all. Help us to resist the urge to stay stuck in past bitterness, instead moving forward with humility and peace of heart. We ask your blessing on those men who have served as father figures in our lives when our biological fathers weren't able to do so. May the love and selflessness they showed us be returned to them in all their relationships and help them to know that their influence has changed us for the better. Give new and future fathers the guidance they need to raise happy and holy children, grounded in a love for God and other people. And remind these fathers that treating their wives with dignity, compassion, and respect is one of the greatest gifts they can give to their children. We pray that our fathers who have passed into the next life have been welcomed into your loving embrace, and that our family will one day be reunited in your heavenly kingdom. We ask your generous blessings today and every day. Amen. Please stand and join in the opening hymn, God of Our Fathers, page 262 in the Brown Hymnal. Please join me in the call to worship. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth.
Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time, with one accord, to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and in the age to come eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now something that I know you men have looked forward to all year long. We women are going to sing to you. So start thinking of your favorite hymns to request, and I'll ask all the ladies to please come forward with your brown hymnals.
Come on, ladies. My goodness, you remember how the men did for us. Okay, men. Are you ready? 4:15. 4:15. Victory in Jesus. That's a good one.
Thank you.
in. Okay, 241.
Thank you.
Yes, happy Father's Day. We love you. Thank you, ladies. That was very nice. Please join me in the offertory statement. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. May the ushers come forward, please. Is there children's church? The children are excused to go to children's church. Thank you.
We're going to sing out of the Brown hymnal, hymn number 2, This Is My Father's World.
Again, I want to thank all the women of the church for singing this morning to the men. And I want to thank all who are taking part in worship this morning. In your bulletins, you'll see prayer concerns that we need to pray for. I'd like to just add a few more that we need to remember. I was told that Charlie Crawl had surgery, and I was just told that his surgery went fine, and he is in Hershey Medical Center. So keep Charlie Crawl and the family in prayer at this time. Also, I've been visiting Pearl Fetter. Pearl Fetter is in Good Samaritan Hospital, just kind of waiting and kind of getting weaker each day. So keep the family of Pearl Fetter in prayer. And this morning, I decided to add a few additional prayers this morning. I'd like for us to end this morning's prayer with the Lord's Prayer. And also, part of the prayer this morning, I'm going to be reciting Jesus' prayer from John 17, where Jesus prays for all believers that they would be one. So after I have the prayer for all believers, we will then go into the Lord's Prayer. Let's bow our heads this morning for our morning prayer. Gracious God, we come to you on this Father's Day thanking you that you are our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, that we can call you Father because you are one who cares for us as a Father, Lord God. It's such a privilege, Lord, to call you Father, Abba Father, Lord God, because we are people, Lord, who need you in our lives. We thank you for the privilege and honor of worshiping you this day, in this time of worship. We pray, Lord, for the needs around us, within our lives, within our families, within the world. Lord, we live very complicated lives, Lord God, but we know that you are a God who is our refuge and strength, the very present help in times of trouble, and therefore we will not fear. Help us, Lord, to come to you as a God who is our refuge and strength at all times. Lord, we lift up the many people this morning on the prayer concern list. These are friends of ours. These are family members. These are ones, Lord, who have ongoing health concerns. We lift each one to you this morning. We pray for every situation that the ones on our prayer list are facing. Help each one to know, Lord, that you have them in the palm of their hand, no matter what they're facing. Help us, Lord, to have the faith to know that you have an answer for every difficult situation we face. We lift up this morning, Lord, Charlie Crawl, who has some health complications. We pray for him while he's in Hershey Medical Center. We are grateful that his surgery went fine. But we do pray for Charlie's recovery, that you give him strength and healing. We also lift up this morning Sister Pearl Fetter. We pray for her and for her family right now in this difficult time. We pray, Lord, that you give Pearl's family strength to go through this difficult time. And God, in this prayer this morning, we want to pray the prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed in John 17, where he prays for all believers, where Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love which with you love me may be in them, and I in them. And God, as a sign of unity, we want to pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles this morning to our scripture text. On this Father's Day, we want to look at the passage of scripture that really kind of focuses on men as leaders. And when we look at a man in the Bible that was a leader, we look at Joshua. So I'll be reading this morning, and you can follow along with me. Keep your Bibles handy, as I'm going to be going through some other passages throughout the message, and also you can follow along in your insert sheets this morning. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, the title of this message is A Father of Courage. Hear the word of the Lord. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May God add a blessing of the reading of his word. Join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word to us this morning. And I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart may be acceptable in your sight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you've been listening to the scripture text this morning, there is one message that is very clear that God is telling us this morning. It is this: be strong and of good courage. In fact, if you were paying attention, God said those words three times. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. And anytime God repeats things more than once or twice, he's trying to give us a message. For what reason? Well, think about anything you might be facing this morning. You might be facing something this morning where you need strength from the Lord. We know that we are weak on our own. You and I know that we can't handle the trials and problems we face every day. God knows that. But do we know that? Are you and I convinced that whatever situation we face, God has it in the palm of his hand? And that he has a plan for anything we face, and that we can trust him? The message this morning is especially geared towards our fathers. I want to devote this message to our fathers this morning. It does apply to all believers, but I really believe this message is geared towards our fathers. Why? Because our fathers are called to be strong and courageous for the Lord. God also calls our fathers to be leaders. And the way I see fathers today is to say this: fathers are people who are needed. We are needed. Our families need fathers. Our church needs fathers. Our places of work need men of integrity who are committed. And I believe fathers play a unique role in the home and the church. It is a much needed role that fathers are called to do. Fathers are called to be many things. We are called to be the spiritual leader in the home, as we read from Scripture, particularly in Ephesians. We're called to be spiritual leaders in the home. We're also called to be spiritual leaders in the church. We as fathers are also called to be nurturing to our children, to be home with our wives and the family as much as we can. We're also made to be the providers of our home, which means that many fathers are away from home because of work. And I really believe some of our fathers might feel the pressure of being the sole provider of the home. Yet, at the same time, it's so important for them to be at home with the family. I know that if I'm away from home for a whole day, Rachel tells me that Daniel and Benjamin ask, "Is Daddy coming home?" I might just be gone for most of the day. They ask, "Is Daddy coming home?" Kids are good at tugging at our hearts, aren't they? And sometimes work just has to wait in order to be with family. I know that might put some pressure on, but look at the benefit. You want to have the children. You want to have children who know that their father is there for them. Yet, in spite of all the pressures, God calls our fathers to be strong leaders for the Lord. We are called to be strong and of good courage in the Lord. And this morning, I want us to look at the example of Joshua as a strong leader in the Lord and apply his qualities in our lives. Now, I'll be the first man to admit that it's not easy to be a leader in the church and in the home. The pressures sometimes are very overwhelming. Yet I know that my Lord and my God is able to make me to be the man and the father he wants me to be. There's a wonderful contemporary song called He is Able. Read that sometimes. Read the words. It shows how God is able to make men in particular to be the leaders he wants us to be. One of my favorite verses from the Bible, Psalm 27, verse 1. I take to heart these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Our God is stronger. Our God is greater than any hardship, any trial. Even the simple songs of the word Jesus loves me should really speak to us. They are weak, but he is strong. Now, in your inserts, I have 5 points of what a father of courage must have. What does it take to be a father of courage? Number one, a father of courage must have humility. A father of courage must have humility. Humbleness. You are not your own man. You're not your own leader. You're not self-made. The Bible tells us that Jesus became great only by God exalting him. A passage of scripture, if you want to write this down about that, about humility, is Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, he humbled himself, this is Jesus, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, and God exalted him. Not Jesus, God exalted him and gave him the name that's above every name that only came by his humility. And when it comes to being a leader, I believe that every great leader began under the guidance and direction of another great leader. And all of us as men need a godly leader as a mentor. I really believe every man here needs another male mentor guide. Someone to give us advice. Someone we can call on in times when we need guidance in handling problems. For Joshua, his leader was Moses. For years, I didn't know how many years, I know there's a lot of years that Joshua sat under the leadership of Moses. In fact, Joshua remained under Moses' leadership until the day Moses died. Look at Deuteronomy 31. Just go back a few pages from Joshua and go back to Deuteronomy 31, verse 2. This is right before Joshua. It says, talking to Moses here, Joshua 31, verse 1, it says, Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. So in other words, Moses was 120 years old when he said it was time for him to retire. 120 years old. Now I'm thinking, what was Joshua thinking this whole time when he was under Moses' leadership? You know, would he be thinking, you know, does Moses still have it all together since he's 120 years old? Now, this is where we need to respect our elders. I'm sure Joshua had to respect Moses as his elder. We need to respect our elders. And when I talk about, if you're wondering how old I'm talking about, an elder is anyone that's older than me. We look at our elders, and sometimes we think, well, what does this old man know? He's just old-fashioned. You'd be surprised. I've talked to many elderly men. You'd be surprised how much they know. They know a lot more than we realize. Our elders have faced life situations that younger men, younger people never faced before. And I've been a pastor now for 28 years. That might seem like a long time. But I still need someone to guide me as a pastor. I need someone to lead me. I need someone to call on to face situations I never faced before. I need that mentor. In fact, I'm going to be meeting with my mentor this week. Second, in your inserts, the father of courage must have the ability to stand against opposition. The father of courage must have the ability to stand against opposition. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Wonderful words here, where God says to Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." In other words, God told Joshua, as long as you're obedient to me, as long as you listen to my words, as long as you obey my laws, you will not have anyone come against you. Think about that promise. But did that mean that Joshua would never encounter any opposition? No. God was giving Joshua a warning. He was not saying that you're not going to encounter any people who are going to be opposed to you. You will. But he just says, "I got that in the palm of my hand." And Joshua had a tall order. He had a tall order to follow from the Lord. He was to lead the people to possess the land of Canaan. And that region that Joshua was possessing, that God wanted him to possess, was a large region. It was a big region. Plus, Joshua was following the greatest faithful leader that God ever used, named Moses. The pressure was on. And so when God told Joshua that no one will stand against you, and God was really telling him, you will face opposition. You will have people who will want to see you fail. And I don't know why it is, but we live in a society where some people get satisfaction and enjoyment when they see someone fail. You have to be able to overcome that fear. Look at, turn your Bibles to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It's way back, almost in Revelation. You go back a few books of the Bible, you get to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Good advice here. It says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" In fact, that same verse is repeated in Psalms. Think about what that says. These verses tell us it's not what man, it's not what woman can do against you. It's what the Lord can do. I mean, look what God did for Joshua. Look what God did for Moses. All Joshua had to do was get a history lesson from Moses. All I had to do is think back to the time when Moses parted the Red Sea and say, wow, God did that. God did that to protect his people. God did that to destroy the opposition. So that means that I have to obey God's laws and do exactly what Moses did, and the Lord will make me prosper. That was what we call the unconditional covenant that God made with Joshua. It's basically, you do what I say, Joshua, and you're going to be fine. Third, in your inserts, a father of courage must have the ability to stand alone with the Lord. A father of courage must have the ability to stand alone with the Lord. Taking a stand for the Lord is not popular in the culture today. I like what Romans 12, verses 1 to 2 says. Wonderful instructions here. Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, don't give in to peer pressure. Just because something is popular does not mean it's right. Learn not to go with the crowd on any issue. You've got to learn to stand alone. Standing alone with the Lord is not to give you praise. And this is where you have to watch it. Standing alone with the Lord is not about you. Because you're standing for God's law. You're standing for God's ways, as Moses and Joshua did. Our authority as Christians is the Word of God. It's the Bible. The Bible is not our word. It's God's word. It's God's law. We didn't make the laws. For example, how many times have your parents, when you're growing up, how many times have your parents says, children obey your parents? That was not their law, by the way. That is in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. If you ever tell kids that, you tell them, this is not my commandment, this is God's commandment. Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I like how Paul says, this is right. Have to learn to stand alone on God's word. Fourth, a father of courage must have the ability to stand after he has failed. A father of courage must have the ability to stand after he has failed. I remember when I was at Bethany Seminary, a student at Bethany Seminary, every May, at the end of the school year, all the seniors would have their chance to give a sermon in chapel. It was a wonderful time to hear the wisdom of all these seniors after 3 years of their seminary studies, to give their wisdom, to give their advice, to give their blessings for us. And I remember at the end of my first year, I was really looking forward to hearing this one senior give her sermon. Everyone was anxious to hear what she'd say after all this knowledge. And this is how she started out her sermon. She said, you will fail. I didn't expect to hear that. I really didn't. She was trying to prepare us for being in ministry. She was saying, don't be surprised when you fail. You know, I get that. I understand that. But that should have not been the only message. You need to be able to get up after you fail. Don't walk away. I remember one time watching a TV commercial where Michael Jordan was talking in his TV commercial. Now, for those of you who don't know, he's a basketball player. He's one of the NBA, arguably one of the best NBA basketball players of all time. And here he was in this commercial, and he's telling in this commercial, he's saying how many shots in basketball that he missed. He says, I made I don't know how many shots that didn't go in. He also said that, you know, I never made my high school varsity team in my sophomore year. He said in his commercial then, in order to win, you must first learn how to fail. Learning to fail means that you get up after you fall. Many people can't do that. We have to fight against what I call victim mentality, which says when you're down, you think everybody's against you. You can't do that. You can't think that. That's like saying, I'm just going to go in a bar and hang out with all the people who have these problems. Misery loves company. Where does that get you? It gets you nowhere. And I don't believe there's anyone here this morning who has not failed at something. and your work, at home, financially, academically. We've all have something where we failed, but we should never stay there. Let's never stay there. I like what God told Joshua when Joshua thought he failed. Look at Joshua 7:7-10. Joshua chapter 7, verses 7 to 10. And here Joshua sounds very much like Moses. It says, "And Joshua said, 'Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?'" I like what the Lord says after this. "So the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face?'" I like how God just cut to the chase there. God didn't have a counseling session where he had him tell his life story. God simply said to Joshua, at the time when he thought he had failed, "Get up. Get back to work. Get back to leading the people. Get up and tell the people what they need to do. Get up and face this trial. Remember what I commanded you, to be strong and of good courage." And finally, the fifth point in your inserts: a father of courage must have the ability to confess. A father of courage must have the ability to confess. And this is not just for fathers, but this is for everyone who's here this morning. If we want our lives to be an open book before God, we need to learn how to confess. Too many of us are not seeking direction from God. We do what we think is right. If we are facing any kind of trial, we need to be honest before God and say, "God, maybe I haven't followed your ways. I've neglected your word. I have not asked you what I should do." Well, if you look at Proverbs, after Psalms, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." Confession is very fundamental in our faith, in our walk with God. It's fundamental in our relationship with God. Because the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, he, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confession is not so much about confessing before people. It is all about confessing our sin before God himself. Why? Because our personal relationship with God is yours and mine, most important relationship there is. It is God who holds us in the palm of his hands. God is able to be the one who can make you to be the person, to be the dad, to be the mom he wants you to be. God is the one who can turn your trial into victory, like he did for Joshua. He is the only one who can make you strong and have good courage. But do you know that promise from God? "I will never leave you nor forsake you." This is a promise from God that he will never fail. Let us pray. God, everyone this morning needs to hear your words to Joshua, to be strong and of good courage, Lord, no matter what we face. Lord, we confess anything before you this morning. We need to confess anything before you. where our relationship with you has been hindered. Lord, you command us to be obedient. To be obedient to you, to be obedient to your word. We pray, Lord, that we would confess anything this morning that is interfering in our relationship with you and bring it to the altar this morning. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing song this morning is a song of conviction, standing up for Jesus. Number 207 in the Brown Hymnal. Would you stand, please? Stand up for Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.